Good morning, everyone. May Jesus' power be made perfect in my weakness. So the reading this morning is Hebrews 2. That's Hebrews 2. Connor will be focusing on verses 14 to 18 in his sermon, but I'll be reading the whole of Hebrews 2. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience receives its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him? You made them a little lower than the angels. You crown them with glory and honour and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present we do not see everything subject to them. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honour because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your names to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again he says, here am I and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. This is the word of God to us this morning. Praise be to God.
I'll just quickly pray for Connor. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come to hear what you have to speak to us. Please give us soft hearts, ears to listen, and the ability to put into practice what we hear now, to the glory of Jesus. And please, Lord, enable Connor to speak persuasively with the help of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be here, good to be able to meet in person if we can. And for those online, really good to see you all as well. So as we heard, we're in Hebrews chapter 2 this morning, and we'll see that we're going to focus especially on verses 14 to 18. I wonder if you thought there is a lot going on in this chapter. We'll see, actually, there's even a lot going on in just those few verses. Now, I wonder how good your memory is. A few months ago, we were in Hebrews chapter 1, which obviously comes right before Hebrews chapter 2. I wonder if you can remember anything that we saw in there. We realize that this letter, this book to the Hebrews, was all about Jesus. He was introduced to us as the hero of Hebrews. And we realize that the reason it is written is so that we can believe in him and follow him. And we saw that the way that starts is by looking at him and getting to know him better. And so that's what chapter 1 was all about. It was all about introducing us to Jesus. And we thought about him as the Son of God. We saw that he is the one who has created the whole world and that he rules it. We saw that he has always existed and that he's worthy of being worshipped. Basically, we saw that he is incredible. He's greater than we can ever imagine, mind-blowingly beyond us, older than we ever realized, higher than we can think of, more powerful, more in control. He is simply beyond us. And we enjoyed looking at that. And all of that is true. And all of that will always be true. But that's not really what Hebrews chapter 2 is about. We're thinking about a different side to Jesus. We're learning that there's something else to him apart from this epic beyond us, Son of God, Jesus. And so we're thinking about Jesus becoming a human, becoming one of us. That's our kind of title for this morning, thinking about Jesus becoming one of us. And if we have a look at our slides, we can kind of see the plan. So in the first couple of verses, we're thinking Jesus became a human. He shared in our humanity. And then we're going to see what that achieved and why he did it. That was to free us from the fear of death. And then we'll kind of do the same thing again. We'll think about Jesus becoming fully human. And then we'll see another thing that that achieved. And that made him our high priest. Now, it's probably a bit too early to be thinking about Christmas. But it's never too early. Some people are shaking their heads. They're not so sure. Especially this year, maybe. But it's never too early to think about what happened that first Christmas. When this Jesus, Son of God, eternal, took on the body of a human being. Took on the actual body of a little baby. That's what we celebrate at Christmas time, isn't it? He shared in our humanity. Now, we're not going to try and understand exactly how he did that or exactly what it means. It's beyond us. Of course it is. That's the only time anything like that has ever happened. It's a unique event. But the Bible has told us enough about it for us to find it amazing, for us to think about it and praise God and praise Jesus because of it. So we're going to start just by thinking about a few things that are true about Jesus becoming a human. Now, firstly, he really did have a real human body. Now, not everyone actually thinks that's true. Some people think, yes, Jesus looked like he had a human body, but he was just kind of, it just kind of looked like it, and it wasn't really one. We just kind of thought it was. But the Bible tells us, no, it really, really was a human body that in many ways, in every way, is just like ours. Another one that seems kind of obvious, but it's helpful to think about it this way, is that it was an event in history. We celebrate that Christmas. We even roughly know the date when it happened. In other words, there was a time when he didn't have his human body, and then at that first Christmas, he took it on. People talk about Jesus becoming a baby as him adding something to himself. So he didn't. We read about the times in Hebrews 1, whenever he was creating the world. He didn't have his human body then. But then at that event in history, all those years ago, he took it on. Another thing that's really important is that it's permanent. He took on this human body and he's going to keep it forever. And when we read about him walking on earth, it's not like he got to the end of a hard day's work. And like someone taking off their work clothes could take off his difficult human body and suddenly relax. No, instead, when he took on a human body, he took it on forever. And even today, even after he has died and risen again, and we'll talk a bit about that later, he still has a human body. So it's permanent. So it was an event in history. It is a real body, and he has got it forever. And none of this changes the fact that he is still the same Jesus of Hebrews 1, still God, still eternal, still powerful, unlimited. But it's just really good to think, wow, he shared in our humanity. That's what it says, isn't it, in verse 14. And then again in verse 17, he had to be made like us, like humans, fully in every way. And now we're going to think about why. Why did he do this? What did it achieve? And what does it mean for us? And the first thing we see is that Jesus became one of us so he could die. And that by dying, he could free us. That's the one thing that all humans do, isn't it? It's sad to think about. It troubles us. Of course it does. But it's true that we all die. And if Jesus didn't become a human, he wouldn't have been able to die. He was God the Son. God the Son couldn't die. And so now we're wondering, well, why on earth would he want to die? What could that possibly achieve? That's the thing that we all want to avoid. And yet here we've got Jesus saying, I need to die. I want to die. Well, let's think about death for a minute. It's the scariest thing in the world, isn't it? In a way, it's the worst thing in the world. We're all afraid of it. This year has kind of proven that to be true, hasn't it? Whenever maybe we've had to think about it more than usual. Maybe you're someone who does think about it quite a lot and who worries about it. That would be quite normal. Or maybe things have happened in your life, events have happened, or even you've just seen and heard about things that bring it to mind and make us think about it at certain times. And it might trouble us when we think about our own death, when we think about the death of others. We might fear it a little bit. But maybe the way that most of us are afraid of death is that we just try and not think about it. We just put it to the back of our mind, don't really talk about it, and kind of try and pretend that it's not really a problem and that it's not really something that's going to happen. I guess that's often the way that we deal with things that we don't want to be true. We try and forget about them. And all of these attitudes towards death, this fear that people have towards death, is understandable. Because it's a bad thing, it's a sad thing. In a way, it's an unnatural thing. But we also have to remember that it is judgment from God. Death is God's judgment on human beings for sin. And this starts to explain why Jesus wanted to die. Because as these verses say, by dying, he was able to defeat the devil. Have a look at verse 14. By his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. Now, I've just said that death is judgment from God. And yet here, it looks like maybe is the devil the one who's in control of death and causes us to die? Well, let's try and explain what's going on. Imagine we're in a courtroom. Yeah? Have you been in a courtroom before? Here we are. God is the judge. God is the judge. And you're on trial. You're on trial to find out if you're going to get the sentence for your sin. And the sentence for sin, as we've said, is death. How would that feel? Standing there. People looking at you, people wondering, has he done it? Has he sinned? Does he deserve this sentence from God? And the devil's here. And who is the devil in the courtroom? Well, he's not the judge, because God's the judge. He's not the prison guard or the executioner. It's more like, these verses are saying, imagine the devil is like a lawyer. Imagine he's a lawyer and he has got a folder, a file with all your history in it. All of your sin. He's got it in his hand and he wants to accuse you, to tell people, to tell God, to show God that you are sinful. What this is saying is that Jesus has been able to come into the courtroom and take this out of the devil's hand and get rid of it. So that he, as the one who's trying to accuse you, has got nothing to say. You see, the folder, our sin, that's the devil's weapon. That's why it says, in a way, he's got kind of power over death. Because he has got this, he's the accuser. Now, obviously, we know God knows everything, and he doesn't need the devil to tell him about our sin or whether we're good or bad. But the devil kind of likes to take on this role and point out our sins against us and against God. And we said Jesus is the one who comes and takes our folder of sin away. And how has he done it? He's done it by doing the death sentence that we deserved. You see, because he became a human being, he was able to do that sentence. He was able to die. And after dying, he went free. He rose again. And we, if we believe in him, get to go free as well. And so what does this mean for us? Now, death still happens. It's still something that we have to go through. But if you're a Christian, if you believe in Jesus and that he has done your death sentence for you, then it's just a process that you go through and you have life on the other side. It's lost its sting, is what it says in other places in the Bible. And so if you believe in Jesus, if you believe that he has taken on your death sentence, then our attitude towards death can change, can't it? You don't have to fear it anymore. Now, this doesn't change the fact that death is tragic and that it's right to cry and mourn whenever people die. It's still a sad thing, but hopefully we can see that it's very different if we believe that there is life on the other side because of Jesus. And so if you are a Christian, someone who believes in him, how is your attitude towards death? What do you think about it when you think about the fact that you will have to go through it and others have to go through it? So, we've seen, as we've imagined we're in this courtroom, that one of the reasons Jesus became a human was to die for us. And now we're going to see a second reason. And this time we're not in a courtroom anymore. We're kind of going to imagine we're in the temple in the Old Testament. Because here, after saying that Jesus became a human, it says he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. And so he became a human being so he could become our high priest. Now let's think about what that means. Well, a high priest had a few different jobs, and two of them are mentioned in these verses from 17 to 18. And the first of those two jobs is that he made atonement. Can you see that at the end of verse 17? What does that mean? I wonder if anyone can remember the kids' song that we sing sometimes, the big words song. One of the big words was propitiation. And the line that comes after that was, does anyone remember? Propitiation, God's anger turned away. Well done. God's anger turned away. That's what this is talking about. What Jesus did when he died was he was a sacrifice that allowed God's anger to be turned away from us and onto him. You see, the high priest in the Old Testament used to do something a bit like this. He would take animals, and because the people were sinful, he would kill the animals. And this was all just a symbol of what was going to, like a picture of what was going to happen with Jesus. But the idea was that the animal got the death sentence, God's anger, instead of the people who deserved it. But Jesus, as a high priest, doesn't come and bring a sheep or a goat and kill that. No, he says, I am the lamb, I am the sheep. I am going to die so that that death sentence comes on me and God's anger can be turned away. You see, his death was actually valuable. It was worth something and it actually paid the price, unlike the animals. And because he was one of us, it made sense for him to represent us and for his death to represent our death, which is what it does if we believe in him. And this was a once-for-all act. This is what happened on the cross when he died. In chapter 1, I don't know if you can remember, but it says that when he had finished this work, he sat down. And we're reminded there that he's done it once for all, job done. If we believe in him, we don't have to worry any more. He's paid our sentence. And so that job of the high priest, is complete, finished. But these verses also tell us that the high priest has a kind of ongoing job as well. And that as well as doing that once for all job, Jesus continues to serve as our high priest. Now, we can never think about the cross and what Jesus did there too much. But let's not forget that Jesus is also serving us now. We don't just look back towards the cross, but we can look up towards him now, knowing he is still alive as our high priest and that he is serving us, our faithful and merciful high priest. And the second job that he continues to do is to help us. That's what it says. Because he suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those, people like us, when they are tempted. A couple of chapters later, in Hebrews 4, verse 15, it says, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." You see, this is another reason why Jesus became a man, because he could experience what we experience. And he could understand why we find it difficult to be good. He can understand the weaknesses and the difficult things about being a human being on this earth. Now, in a way, what he went through wasn't exactly the same as us, because we know he never sinned. We know that he didn't have evil desires that kind of tempt from within, like we might have. But it does say he was tempted in every way. And so when he looks at us struggling, being weak, being sinful, he gets it. He understands us. He is able to say, "I know you want to sin. I know that you have weaknesses as a human that kind of make you susceptible to sin, that make sin easy for you." We all know, you know the Snickers ad? "You're not you when you're hungry." Maybe we can relate to this a little bit. When we're tired, when we're going through a hard time, when we're hungry, when we're suffering, sometimes it becomes very easy and natural for us to sin. But Jesus never did. But we do. And we're able to come to him and explain and share and pray and say what we're going through. And he understands. And because he understands, he's patient with us and loves us anyway. And even helps us not to sin and gives us strength. This is one of his roles as our faithful and merciful high priest. You see, he's able to say, "I have dealt with your sin with my death on the cross. And now I'm going to keep helping you even though you struggle, even though you're weak." I wonder if you ever just feel like you're too sinful. Like there are certain things that you do that you just can't stop doing. You just repeat them over and over, and you can't even imagine not doing them anymore. Jesus can help us. And we can go to him and pray and not worry that he's going to look down on us and say, "Oh, look at me. I was a great example. Why aren't you more like me?" He's not like that. He was a great example, but he also understands us and he's patient with us. And ultimately, he's able to say that, "I have dealt with your sins by dying for you." And all of this is possible because he became a man, because he became a baby, as we think about at Christmas. So hopefully, all of this helps us follow him. Jesus became one of us, fully human in every way, so that he could forgive us and so he could help us. So let's pray now that God would help us to keep following Jesus because of these things. Father, We thank you for sending your son Jesus, and we thank you that he was willing to come and to become one of us. And we thank you for everything that this means. We thank you that it means we can be forgiven and that we can be helped as we follow him. In his name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing together now as we finish our service.